Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, we're going to have a mini episode of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Halberton, and who is playing a very strange free PS5 game with me tonight?
This is Joe Butler, and I really hate being a teenager.
This is Kenneth Sanity, and I am down with the mental sickness.
This is Blair Farrell from Comic Book Video Games, and I don't really have anything clever for this really sobering, weird game for a subject matter I don't really relate to in any way.
Blair was never a teenager. Or at least not a teenage girl.
Not a teenage girl who has to deal with social media and all the nonsense that's going on in the world right now.
Yes, that is fair.
Ed, it's Chelsea, a.k.a. Tyrant Cheeks.
And welcome. And I wanted to get my Team Silent back together because it's been a little bit since we've last done an episode. And we're going to talk about Silent Hill, the short message developed by Konami Digital Entertainment and Hexadrive and came out in 2024. So this will be the newest game on the show ever done. Probably for a little bit, too.
This is also the newest Silent Hill game that's been released.
To call this Silent Hill should have air quotes. To call this a game should have air quotes. Therefore, this entire episode officially has air quotes around it.
All those statements are true. So before we get too far, I do want to say we will be talking about suicide. We will be talking about child abuse, because this game goes some fucking weird places for a 3-hour experience.
As it should.
So we'll be mainly focusing on suicide, self-harm, abuse, trauma, and bullying. So,
and child death.
Beware. And child death.
You know, none of those things I really expected were going to be when I started playing this game yesterday morning. Other than the part when you start up this game multiple times, it tells you, if you need help, please seek out help for suicide. I'm like, that's good you have that, but like, did you have to make a game all about suicide? But
no, it is sound. I think the worst part of it is there's a whole dialogue box. Like, if you need help, go to suicide hotline so I can get that. And at the very bottom, it's, if you still don't want to look for help, email Konami. And it's like, yes, the first thing I do is when I want help with my suicidal issues is I want to email fucking Konami.
That's real. That was in there?
Yeah, to the bottom.
Have you pachinko'd about it, Joe?
Yes, Joe, gambling will make you feel better. Of course, that's how gambling works. Don't listen to any of my advice just now. That was complete bullshit. But gambling will not help in any shape or form. But that was a good joke. So I remember I heard this came out. I mean, this came out in January. We're recording this in March. And like, I didn't think much about it, but I have a PS5. So I'm like, all right, I should give this game a try. And it gives us a reason to get the Silent Hill team back together, because I've been dragging my feet about the other ones that we have to play for recovers. And I was like, all right, you know, let's do this. And this game is not what I expected. Like, Ken had made a comment in the chat how this is Silent Hill wants to be Resident Evil 7. And he's 100% accurate.
Actually, I think that was Blair that said that.
Was it Blair?
Oops. It was.
Because I've never played Resident Evil 7.
And Blair... yeah, that was the other comment. Wow, you see, I live in a different dimension, I guess, sometimes. Yeah.
Blair took me to task.
Blair, you are right.
It's okay. This is Silent Hill pretending to be Resident Evil 7 that also pretended to be PT. So see, we're in one big spiral.
And this is why PT.
After Resident Evil 7 did that demo that wanted to be PT with the doll finger that went on for like a half a year.
I forgot. Okay, so I remember that. So this game is technically a demo for what's coming eventually?
No.
Okay.
No.
What is the point of this game?
Yes.
All right.
That's actually fair.
One of the things that is interesting about this is, I don't know if y'all noticed or saw on, and I swear to God, Mike, I will stop this recording and drive over there with a hammer. The monster design is created by Junji Ito, Masahiro Ito, the creator of Pyramid Head.
Yep.
And it got leaked a couple years ago, and he actually had a poll on Twitter of what to name the monster. And I'm sadly so enough, pissed off. What is it, Ken? Because I'm not 100% sure.
Fucking Sakura Head.
When they one of them was just specifically what the girl's like nickname is, which is Cherry Blossom, which would have been fine.
Yeah, Cherry Blossom, I thought was the name of this thing.
Yeah, you know, me too.
There was no name at the time of this being created, and he had a poll, which I'm sure maybe Konami put him up to it because it's Konami.
Yeah, when you make a poll, you're supposed to put the choices on that you are okay with any of the four of any whatever amount of choices you put. Now, don't just put like stupid shit that people will vote. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you get a boat named Bodie McBoatface.
To be fair, though, Bodie McBoatface really is the hero of our time.
I mean, I know our snowplows in Minnesota all have names and are all like Lord of the Rings names and stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, and then also with this goes with the whole weird console war exclusive things, because I guess Konami has a contract with Sony, because I remember a month after this came out, Konami revealed that this is coming to other consoles eventually. Same thing as Silent Hill 2 Remake, which is going to PlayStation first, but it will be released on other things eventually. So Chelsea, at some point you will have to play this.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, if you watch the video, I don't think you really need to.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you don't.
Like, to be fair, my friend downloaded this, and then I was watching him stream it, and then like halfway through, we were both like, this is so dumb. Like, this is so boring. And then my other friend was streaming it, and he had gotten to the part where it's is it Anita's apartment when she was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
He had gotten to that part, and then I was like, oh, there's Silent Hill. Okay. Now it kind of feels like Silent Hill. And then for those of you who don't know, I don't have a PS5, so I couldn't play this myself. But I was watching the YouTube video and actually like paying attention and reading the lore. And it actually did like kind of suck me in a little bit. And I thought I would probably enjoy this better if I was actually playing it.
Possibly. I was having trouble figuring out where the heck it was actually set.
That was confusing.
So is it too. Germany or is it Japan?
It takes place in Germany, but this game is created by, that also I was right about that last night, Mike. It is made by Japanese people. That's why all the characters look like they're Asian, because they are. But it takes place in a German building, and then the characters are also Asian because of a twist later on in the game, obviously. And yeah.
See, that's what threw me off, because I thought it was in Japan, but then they kept talking about all these German things, and then I thought the character models looked like white or Caucasian, and then they would have these awkwardly inserted live action scenes with really bad lip syncing. Mm. Like, I don't understand why they just never went with subtitles. Like, why they felt the need to dub it over, because, I mean, I didn't really like get into the story, and I think it's, as I was listening to the Player One podcast, and Greg Seward was sharing his experience with this, and he actually has teenage daughters, or a teenage daughter. And, you know, it meant more to him because this is the fears that he faces every day, or how I'm paraphrasing and kind of changing his words, so I don't really want to be doing that. But it's something that's very important to him and more relevant to him, whereas I'm watching this and I feel it. But then also some of the dialogue is really awkward, like when the girl starts putting herself down. Like, I thought it was honestly going to have like the Debbie Downer sound effect afterwards.
I mean, that's fair, but it felt realistic to me. Like, I'm not a teenage girl, but when I was in high school, I was kind of very down on myself and I was very awkward and didn't fit in into the normal. I had long hair and I was not part of the in crowd when it came to high school.
I want a picture of Mike with long hair.
I also want a picture of Mike with long hair.
They do come up every so often on my Facebook, so I will try to remember this.
I don't need a picture of Mike with long hair, so just so you know. you don't have to please everybody, Mike.
But I was very much an outcast, and I can kind of see this too, of this idea, and the fact that it's very much, and I mean, I have a 16-year-old son, but I can definitely see that too. Like, I mean, I would be, I do worry about him all the time. And like, I could, you know, especially if he was in like high school, can be a terrible place for people. Fucking hated high school. I thought it was hell. Like, I mean, I know people are like, oh, high school's the greatest time. Like, no, it is for some people. It wasn't for me. Like, it wasn't bad, but I was stupid. Like, why am I here? So, I mean, like, I completely get that. I can completely see in that being a fear that if you have a teenage daughter and just everything that goes on with social media and the way that, like, some of the stuff that this game touches on, like, it has different parts that I saw. I can't tell you how many times I picked up a photo and had to hear a certain statement over and over again. Well, did you like that? Something like that. And it's just like the idea that she's probably sending more, you know, nudity pictures or more scantily clad pictures that she's not comfortable with in order to get attention and get likes on social media. And like, that's part of what's going on. And I can completely see that if someone had a teenage daughter like that would hit differently.
I also feel like it goes into a thing of, which the biggest fear of all, which is me looking at myself and going, am I old? Because I don't. I wasn't heavily on social media at that age, but I know a lot of teenagers are. And it's getting progressively worse, especially with the goddamn cesspool that Twitter has become. So it goes to a thing of where you look at it and you go, oh, this is really stupid. But then another point where it's like, no, this is actually happening. So I really can't say this is stupid.
Well, yeah, it's not, because I get the subject matter, but just the way it's written and performed, it's very, I get what it's trying to say, but where it's, I mean, I guess it's free. So what do you expect? But it's very like unrealistic. I don't know if that's even the best word. It just, it's too on the nose. Yes. I think it later on, it like in say the second hour when things start to like unravel, then it kind of got me. But like towards the beginning, I was like watching it or playing it and just had to pause it and be like, oh boy, let's like walk away from this. And to talk about your age, like when I was in high school, I'm pretty sure one of my friends had a cell phone, just one. And about all it did was play Snake. So this is where I'm coming from.
I graduated in 06. So me too. Kind of put my age in there.
Well, I'm like 5 years younger than you guys. But even same here, though, still. Like, social media still wasn't that big of a hit. It was maybe just like Instagram and stuff. But I know lately it's gotten to a bit. But funny enough, which is even the worst part of this, I imagine kids were more chronically online because of COVID, which also this apparently also fucking takes place during. So,
which again, like we don't really think of, I mean, I guess I don't think about it, I should say, but like COVID is going to be a discerning factor in so many people's lives and so many things. Like as years and years go on, you'll talk about, oh yeah, when COVID hit, like that's just going to be one of those things. And it's like, it didn't, like for me, the guy who never stopped working because my job said, you're a hero. Sure I am. Where's the extra pay? But like, I never stopped working. So it's like, it wasn't the only difference to me with COVID was I got to get to Walmart really quick because they closed at 6 o'clock and I got to get some food. Like that was my issue with COVID for the most part. I mean, it sucked, but that was the main thing I had to deal with. Like the stores were closing early, or when the riots were happening here in Minneapolis, Walmart and Egan decided had to close his doors for a week because of the riots that never even came to Egan. Fucking Egan.
Who riots in Egan?
Egan's a suburb of St. Paul in a kind of ritzy area. They were completely fine. Nothing happened. Apparently, some idiot drove by in a truck and said, we're going to Egan next with a riot! And then yelled it in front of a police officer or somebody at Walmart, and then so Walmart shut down for like a week. It was ridiculous.
I'll one-up you that, Mike, because I work security during COVID. And so when the riots were happening, we had like the rich owners who were like, all right, you guys need to be ready and prepared. You know, you guys need to be ready for whenever they want to come through here and like smash the building and rip it apart. Because, you know, they'll do that. So just be prepared. And I'm like, look, if they fucking break in here when we're the building apart, I'm going to go on my lunch break. I'm not going to fucking sit here and defend this fucking place like it's a castle. And I'm like the last night. Fuck that shit.
And did you even have a weapon?
No.
You're not gonna like.
What they expect you to do? Like, put like, come on, guys, let's fight! Like, just be Mortal Kombat, Joe versus 100 people. Like,
yeah, no.
You're gonna be like out. Denzel at the end of the Equalizer 1 in a Home Depot that's basically full of like deadly Home Alone traps.
No, it's gonna be the ending of that movie with Liam Neeson where I'm like going through like drawers and I tape pencils to my hands and I'm just like covered in blood and I'm just like waiting for people to come get me and it just ends. In darkness.
I'm not surprised that a company did that. Like, yeah, you'll be ready to stand by it, but I completely see it. Like, yeah, I gotta go, guys. Like, fine.
But the weird part was the building I'm in, both buildings I was in, they're not even by the main road, which because we did have a riot downtown because I do live in a major city. But like the riot was like nowhere near us, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, it was just COVID time. But it's like, it's just something I was thinking about while playing this game because it mentions COVID and it mentions how, you know, this build. So the whole story of is you, the person you're playing as, the girl you're playing as, she's at a funeral or not a funeral, but a like memorial for somebody. And all of a sudden she blacks out and wakes up in an abandoned building and has text messages from her friend saying like, hey, you know, where are you? I'm here to meet you at the studio. So she, who apparently had a studio in an abandoned building, but you're a teenager. I get it. I hung out in an abandoned building too. So like, I get it. And then it just goes places from there. It doesn't really feel like Silent Hilly until later. Kind of what Chelsea said. Like at first it's very much just weird. I mean, I did realize I did have some Creepshow vibes, Ken. Like the part when you go in the bathroom and you see all the bugs everywhere and the roaches, I'm like, Creepshow.
I would like to point out for everybody that there were roaches in existence before the movie Creepshow. just in case anybody was confused.
But Mike hasn't really experienced roaches ever, thank God, in person. So, and Mike doesn't like bugs that much, or not roaches at least, and Creepshow made me think of Creepshow.
That's fair. Like, kind of piggybacking off Blair's thing, I think this game's biggest fault is that it's clumsy as hell. Like, it does try. It's trying to make a message.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you see what we did here? We're doing good things. Yeah. You like that? No, you don't. That's abuse. No. Like, it's chastising you.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, rubbing it in your face. And I don't understand.
Yeah, it's hard to filter teenage girls on social media post-COVID through the lens of more than likely middle-aged Japanese men under the guise of a major corporation as a marketing tool for future products.
Yes,
that's fair.
I mean, I felt like it captured some of the idea of teenagers or how people are, how women are on social media. But again, I'm also a guy that is taking it. It's like, okay, this makes sense.
Am I the only one here who watched Gen V?
I didn't. I wanted to, but I didn't.
Okay, because, I mean, Gen V is the spinoff of The Boys, and they're kind of in like a first-year university for like super people, and it has a lot of things in this where people pretend to be someone's friends, and then they have this really nice heart-to-heart, and then the next day they go on like their, I think, whatever the Instagram is in The Boys universe, and they just basically use that to get likes. And that's like something that kind of I saw in here too, where it was just the, I don't even remember the main protagonist's name, and I played this Monday.
I don't either. I played this yesterday.
Anita.
I thought Anita, Anita was the friend?
No, Amelie's the friend.
Okay, Amelie is the friend. Okay.
And Maya's the girl that asked you to come here.
Okay. And then she posts something, and then she's like, I don't have any likes on this. And that's one of the moments where I thought the Debbie Downer horn was going to come in.
I mean,
oh, no.
I think that's a thing.
It definitely is. Like, people will, I mean, it's on, like, you're not popular because your whatever Instagram followers aren't a certain number, or you're not cool because you're using the basic gear in Fortnite instead of the heavily microtransaction stuff, so you're poor. Like, these are things that are happening right now.
And, like, I'm not trying to be dismissive. Mental health is very important. Everybody's affected by mental health.
And that's what I'm trying to be, too. It's like, I'm trying to be very, like, I'm not trying to say, like, these people are, or, you know, these aren't real problems, as they are. And especially when you're that age, everything to you feels like it's the end of the world when it's the most minor thing ever. And you look back years later and say, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe I was so worked up over this. But at the time, your world is so small. And now it was small, but now it's just crushing around people because it's the weight of the digital age and the Patriots and all that stuff from Metal Gear Solid 2. Bringing it back to Konami.
Hey, to be fair, he did predict some of the stuff that does happen later on.
That is true. That is so true.
You play Metal Gear Solid 2 again, you look at the ending, he's like, one day everything will be ruled by the internet and people won't even realize what's happening to them. It's like, you weren't wrong.
The worst one was whenever he predicted COVID with fucking Death Stranding, and he's like, I promise I won't try to predict the next thing again, you guys. I'm sorry.
I need to play Death Stranding one day.
Yeah, you do. Love that game.
I feel like maybe we're too old for this.
No, this was also written by old Japanese men, and I can tell you what.
That's so strange, because, like, I could relate more to the mother not being able to keep a man than I could the social media stuff.
I have that also opposite problem, which we'll go to if we do the story beat. There's a whole other issue which I put in the group chat, which is me. I play the beginning of this, and then I went upstairs and I watched the gameplay video of it. But these girls are gay. Like, no one's allowed to tell me otherwise. Oh, yeah. It's okay. And it's like, there's like they try to throw it off where it's like, oh no, Maya has like a drawing of a boy in her book and obviously she liked a guy. It's like, no, these all three of these girls are gay, like hella gay.
But is it, it's, I'm assuming it's still something very, especially in high school, very taboo. Like, you know, if you're gay, like you still gonna, you still have to deal with all the bullshit that, you know,
Not in 2022.
I know there's a lot of bullshit people that probably went through it when I was in high school in 2006.
Oh, I mean, that's my thing about, like, I graduated in high school in 2002, and I think of, like, during COVID times, I watched the 2003 Todd Phillips comedy Old School, and at the start of that, someone uses the F-word slang. And I was like, this was still a thing back then.
Yeah.
Like, it's filmed in 2002, released in 2003. I think it's still an awful place for people who aren't quote unquote normal.
Yeah, we don't follow.
But I think it's a lot better than what it was even like two decades ago.
But I still think it's got to be hard for people and you're understanding yourself. And I mean, I can't really speak to that, but like it must be.
And it would help if we knew and like if they said definitively, it's here, and in this culture, it's more taboo than others, because I was so confused the entire time, because it's, again,
same,
like, cause it, the main character looks, I mean, to me, how they looked, it looked Caucasian, white, they didn't look like there was any ethnicity, and then her friend would show up, and she's clearly Asian, and clearly not speaking English, and they have someone dubbing over her voice, and that sucked me out of the whole experience.
It's all bad.
Like, so either commit just to being all Japanese and just have subtitles, or don't have these live action things.
Felt like it was a one shot. Like we're taking one shot of this. Like the actors did fine, but that's how it felt. Like we don't have time to do this in a different language or anything. Like we're shooting it once, we're good to go.
We need to spend more time on our pachinko machines.
Next song.
I mean, I liked the live action stuff, but I also was confused. I was like, is this Japan? Also, the whole fact, like, this woman calls herself Cherry Blossom. Cherry Blossoms were not a thing in other parts of the country besides Japan, if I'm correct.
Well, I mean, Germany is very famously known for its cherry blossoms, Mike.
Yes.
Oh, wait. No, it's not. It's cold.
No.
Like, I know there's some cherry blossom trees in Washington.
Yeah.
D.C.
And then you get into the high school and it's very just North American.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't, and I know Silent Hill was supposed to be nebulous as it were you too, but normally you're in a town called Silent Hill.
Okay. Actually, I got to walk back what I just said. They do have cherry blossom trees in Germany.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. Like there's whole websites devoted to the many different places you can go. And there is a cherry blossom ritual festival in Germany.
Oh. Okay, you made this game go up a notch all of a sudden.
No, don't do that.
No, it's don't worry. It still has it already. Its destination has already been cemented thanks to me dying 10 times in a row to stupid RNG. So don't worry. It's already cemented itself where it's going, but you did up it a notch.
Okay, but like, yes, apparently that is a thing. See, you learn stuff.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, I give it more respect then, because like for me, a guy who lives in the Midwest, like cherry blossoms aren't a thing. I mean, I know what they are because I'm a because I like Japanese stuff, but like I have never run across one in my life, and I probably won't.
Well, hopefully we have them in the Midwest too, bro.
I've never seen one.
Me neither.
I've never seen one IRL.
Have you ever looked for one IRL?
No. That's fair.
You know what? I'm going to look this up now. So you have my curiosity. I will find out for us, Chelsea, if there's anything in our Twin Cities that has a cherry blossom tree we can go find.
Fantastic. Yeah,
we'll have to go together.
Anyway, back to the game. Like, did anybody make sense of why it took place in Germany?
Yes.
No. Because I know one of the things they mentioned, because, again, I'm not really worldly educated, as it were, because they kept talking about how this they had all this money to basically build up this apartment complex, if I'm understanding it correctly. But then COVID hit and then there was the economic downturn and then they lost all that money and a bunch of people lost their savings and jobs.
Yeah,
pretty much.
That's kind of what the notes were, if I was reading the notes correctly.
Like there was so many Japanese investments in the city.
Yes, it was Chinese too.
Chinese, yes, but I specifically remember Japanese and Chinese. Like there were a lot of Asian investment money coming into this city, but then when COVID hit, everything just shut down and everybody pulled out.
So there's three logs you can find, which also I thought you meant like why everything's spoopy, but there's three reasonings why that I remember and looked up and all that. One is in the very beginning, which also there's a lot of ham-handedness in this as well, and I blame Konami for that. One of them being that the reason why they use cherry blossoms is because people romanticize the cutting open of the stomach that the Japanese used to do and all that stuff.
Kuro or not? What the fuck? I know this word. The one for suicide.
Seppuku.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not seppuku. It's something else. But it's something with an S. But then it also goes into the reason why there's fog is because of Maya being related to a witch or something, or a family being, which honestly, I'll also give a round of applause for that. Good job, Silent Hill, as usual, having a game, but not inducing the order for any reason whatsoever. Because they could have easily been like, oh yeah, Maya's mom was like part of some weird cult or something like that.
Yeah, but I feel like all the Silent Hill games are either like about the order or they're about like personal trauma.
Yeah, and this balances out both equally, which is fine, which I think they do fine in this.
I did like the witch stuff too. I thought that was cool. I mean, because to me, I kept thinking like this is just going to be essentially like a demo for when we get Silent Hill F, whenever the hell that comes out.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, that takes place in 1960s rural Japan, but
okay.
That could also be a prequel type thing to this.
And
that
a first makes person,
sense. Yeah, with the witches. Yep. I didn't think of that.
I mean, I liked the witch stuff. I liked the fact that you find books and you examine things that make no sense why they're here. Like, you know, when the game starts, because at first it's just her wandering around this building, even though they do a couple. It did make me jump scare a couple times during this playthrough. There's a part where you open a door and there's also just graffiti outside the door, and that made me jump. There's a part where what really got me, where you're standing and you turn around, all of a sudden you're surrounded by dummies. Not mannequins, but like,
yeah,
they're like brooms with a face on them. And that made me freak out. I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, okay. So there were a couple parts like that.
See, I was just a flat line through the entire thing. And that's because as we'll get into like the actual game part.
In as much as there is a game part,
it wants to be Shattered Memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
that's what I got. It wants to be Shattered Memories. And even why I brought up Resident Evil 7 is kind of like the dilapidated buildings and the garbage. And even the interface felt very much like the Baker Estate and how those games looked. And I guess this is only a free 2 of the 3 hour experience, but even like say Shattered Memories, as I know in the menu, they're talking about the controls and it's like, oh, bring out your smartphone to do something. But all you can do is like go from your text messages to the files. Like you don't even use that for anything interesting.
Yeah.
Really just the flashlight. And I'm okay with the fact that she's using a flashlight.
It felt like a proof of concept more than anything.
Yeah.
I will say, though, the connection between Resident Evil is pretty interesting because Hexadrive did work on the Not a Hero DLC for Resident Evil 7.
Oh,
that's where I heard that name before. Thank you, Ken.
They've also done a lot of work on Super Bomberman R.
I know that.
And let's see, Social Ops, the Metal Gear Solid Social Ops. Snake Eater 3D for the 3DS, and everybody's favorite Parasite Eve Third Birthday.
Hey, better than two. Better than two.
I've never finished two, but I can say empirically that that's false.
Thank you, Blair.
I beat 2 and 1 and 3, and yeah, Third Birthday was way better than I hated. I fucking hated 2.
I literally took the Third Birthday out of my PSP and threw it against the wall.
With a hammer.
Okay.
With a hammer this weekend, Mike.
Hey, Third Birthday was also how me and you met, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
So it has a mental connection to me too.
So like I'm just saying maybe the developer, you know, they haven't really done anything like this in like this is their own playground, essentially. There's no previous connection to previous Silent Hill. other than calling something a Silent Hill disease, which is...
I think I missed that note.
Oh, here I have the Silent Hill phenomenon.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Let me pull... I can pull it up. To one who is psychologically unstable, fog represents uncertainty and sensory illusions. When in a state of high stress, one's vision may become obscured or tunneled, as if one is wandering through a dense fog or mist. Societal uncertainty or apprehension about the future manifests as fog, thus blurring the lines between illusion and reality. That's the Silent Hill phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
I can't help myself when I hear
phenomenon.
That's all that comes to my mind. I can't be the only one that thinks that every time they hear that.
No, but I had successfully blocked it out of my brain for a good couple years.
See, I was going to go to LL Cool J, but no one wants to hear me sing LL Cool J's phenomenon.
I don't think that's true. There's a reason that ladies love them.
That is true.
God, where was I? But
so they're essentially trying to think of Silent Hill as a concept rather than a town now, so yes, they can move it from just the Midwestern setting.
Which, okay, I guess.
Yes, I mean, it gets harder and harder to like get people to this one spot all the time.
Except. It wouldn't be. You really want a good representation of what modern day Silent Hill would be. Just have it show up on like any listicles by ranker and you will get flocks of people to Silent Hill. There is an easy way to approach keeping Silent Hill in Silent Hill, but everybody's being a coward and not doing it.
All right. So here's what I'm going to do. See, I have this grenade, right? And I'm going to put the sticker on it. And I swear to God, if we get a new Silent Hill game and it goes into the whole thing where it's like, oh, the Silent Hill phenomena happens because people know about it and they make it to where the games, my goddammit, and they make it to where the games are fictional inside like a universe, I'm going to swallow this grenade and pull the pin.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah, because I think that would probably be like the worst route they could go with the series.
I think a lot. I mean, hell, you got the mobile game that's not doing great. So we'll see where they go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do we want to go there?
No, I don't. I just made my one comment that I regretted at the moment it came out.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was one. Like, as far as
I don't want to go there yet. I do want to cover it when it finishes.
No, I don't think we should.
We can't because there's no way to play it after it finishes.
Well, there'd be a video. There's no way to play it now. Isn't it just you make decisions and you just, watch video.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, the Ascension? Oh, thing. I've already forgot what that's about that thing.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's still ongoing.
It is.
It's still around. I'm in the Silent Hill group and they were talking about it yesterday. That's why it's in my brain. I forgot it existed. Somebody's like, I can't wait till they finish this so I can watch the video about it.
And I think it was Ken brought it up that in the chat. And again, I could be misquoting people. Where I think this as a concept of what Silent Hill means in the future is kind of more interesting than this 2 to 3 hour experience. Because, I mean, based on, and this can get into a whole tangent about where the video game industry is right now, but I don't even think they should bother to make a new Silent Hill. I think the only thing they should be concerned with is taking the ones that are out and making them one-for-one playable on modern machines in the same way that the Metal Gear Collection was, the Contra Collection, like... I'm fine with Konami not making anything new. I'm totally okay with that. Just as long as I keep the old ones relevant. Like Silent Hill 2 in its purest form, available on Steam, Switch, PlayStation 5, Xbox, and not the bad version that is playable on Series X, which is currently the easiest way to play Silent Hill 2 and 3. And those aren't even the patched PlayStation 3 versions, talking about the HD collection from that era.
Speaking of which, I will now go into the probably worst tangent I will probably go into. So who's played the medium?
I wanted to, but I wasn't current gen yet.
The medium proves that no one knows. This does kind of an okay job. It's not very good, but it's also... I think we've all agreed, like, we might be too old, but not. But then again, the medium also gives me a whole thing of, oh, no one just knows how to write suicide well anyways. Because much as what happens in the medium, the ending is absolutely fucking atrocious. Who wants to guess what happens?
Suicide. See, I don't know, but that's the thing, because And that's what a discussion I need to have with someone, because before the Silent Hill 2 remake was announced, everyone said Bluebird Team should be the ones who are the ones responsible for it. They should be the ones doing it. And now they are the ones who are doing it. But then I also heard a swath of people saying if they do it, that's the worst possible thing ever, because I always see their games, like if they had the Blair Witch one that was at E3 that looked really cool and then it came out and no one cared because it wasn't very good. And then the Medium came out and I think Akira Yamaoka did the music.
Yes.
And everyone said, oh, man, this is the next Silent Hill. And then it came out and it was a nothing burger. So I don't understand why. Well, like, I haven't. Maybe I should go play this studio's games and figure out for myself. But like, I want to get into discussion of like, why are they the worst slash best people for this franchise?
The Medium is about is has an interesting concept because it basically involves you being split between two worlds, the regular world and a weird Silent Hill world. It goes on between, like, the game actually splits itself in between these two worlds. Like, you have to have a pretty beefy system to actually run it, which is why I think it was only on next gen Xboxes for a while until it came to PC.
Yeah, it was like the big Xbox exclusive for a while, and it was on Game Pass, I think.
It's still on Game Pass. But the twist of it is I guess the reason why the world is split is because the main character has a twin sister who got sexually abused, and the game ends where it goes, hey, you're causing the world to split. This is your fault. You should just go fucking kill yourself. And her sister goes, you're right. Suicide is the only answer. And she picks up the gun and walks in the forest, and then everything gets fixed. So you know she committed suicide.
That is awful.
Yes.
Suicide doesn't fix anything. It just takes away. It just puts the pain on other people. And that is bad. That's bad. That's just bad. Like,
oh, thank God they're handling something so psychologically subtle as Silent Hill 2.
Okay, so I do want to bring up something that you guys reminded me of. Like, in this game, when you find out that Maya is dead, I was like, oh, like, that got my attention immediately. I was like, here we go, Silent Hill 2 again.
Like, yeah, my nose kind of did a little Bewitched twitch when that happened. Like, I was pretty happy with it. I was like, all right, here we go, spooky. And then it got dumb.
I actually was into this game until the end. Like, I liked the banter between her and her friend. I like it that you're finding out the mystery that I still don't really understand completely what happened, but somehow the character you're playing as was involved with Maya's death. Oh, yeah, she took a letter out of the book where Maya was kind of professing her love for her friend, and she didn't like that.
Yeah, like, inadvertently caused it.
Yeah, so one of my understanding is that you were best friends with this person, and then a third person came in, and you got jealous because they were spending more time with them than you, and someone was expecting a note from, was it the boy in the notebook?
No, I think what ends up happening is Maya likes the boy in the notebook, but then when she goes to go tell him, I think he tricked her or something.
See, I thought it was you that tricked her. I thought you switched the notes.
Well, yeah, no, so what it is you don't switch the notes, you take the notes, because then I remember the note being, it was Maya leaving a note for Anita saying that she got tricked and that she wants to, like, I think it's the notes confessing her feelings. So I think it's supposed to be like a meetup meeting and you take it. So Maya goes to, what I assume is probably the roof to meet her, and she's not there, so she commits suicide.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I didn't thought it was that. Like, she was expecting the note, and then you just change up the note that basically was, oh, you should go kill yourself or something just to take them down a peg. Like, I thought that's what was happening.
See, the big problem here is that Anita and Amelie are two similar names.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, the one character who is different is the one who's dead and goes by a different name. So, like, keeping Anita and Amelie separate it's difficult.
Oh, then go back to the gameplay, to what I think Blair said earlier. I actually like the first person just walking around with a flashlight and being creeped out by stuff. I could have done without the maze running. I would have loved this game.
Yeah.
The atmosphere was good.
I like stuff like that. I'm completely okay without you trying to kill me in any shape or form. So,
yeah, I do too. But then the issue is that They try to do the whole shattered memories thing where it's exploration and then it turns into a chase.
Yeah.
And then the end turns into, and this is the entire week, I was like, okay, Mike loves handholding Alberton, is going to hate this. Because I did it Monday and I just like, I'm turning this off. I don't even care. I'm just going to go watch the video. And there was like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
because the chase sequences are pretty fair. Like I was even kind of using my shattered memories logic where I was like, okay, look for a light or something. And then that worked. But then suddenly at the end, it turns into a game where you have to run through this confusing maze where everything looks the same and this thing is chasing you and you have to get these things to unlock a door. But if they touch you once, or if you run into a dead end, you can't get around them, then you die and you have to start the whole thing over again, even losing all the pictures that you had.
And it doesn't even tell you that you have to get these 5 pictures.
It kind of does. Like when you get them, you see like a chain come off the door.
Okay. Silent Hill room style. Okay. That's what it reminded me of. But yeah. Okay. I didn't, when I first did this, I was confused because like we're going to go back to it, the apartment, but like you find the apartment for the first time, which shouldn't exist in this building. So, you know, things are kooky and crazy. And when you open the door, like right in front of you is a cherry blossom monster. And what the guy told me to do, they said, turn around immediately and go right. And that's how you find the first picture. I had did this, I want to say between 10 and 20 tries before I finally got it. And it was sheer, just part of it was just luck. Because there were times where, like, I would bait her and she'd be following me. And then all of a sudden, like, she'll despawn after a bit because you can tell by your phone will get more staticky if she's near you or not. But also the game does a fuck you where when you pick up a picture that you have to pick up, the radar that you use to tell if something is near you stops working. So does your flashlight. So you can't see shit and you don't even know if she's nearby or not. And spoiler alert, she's behind you. So like I actually learned the maze. Like I could. There were parts where I knew, okay, I got to turn left here, I got to turn right here. And Blair's completely right. It looks almost exactly the same. Like, there are subtle differences, but the lighting is so bad. You're using a flashlight on your freaking phone, and it feels like you're using a flashlight on your phone. Like, it's hard to see. And, like, the only reason, I mean, I did the same thing multiple times, and sometimes she would spawn in a place that would just murder me, and sometimes she wouldn't. The time that I finally got it, she just wasn't where I needed her to be. One time, hell, I just took a right when I meant I didn't, and I went into where the final part was. I had 4 of the 5 pictures, and I went to turn around as a dead end. You're just dead, which I thought was stupid that it had dead ends in this maze that automatically kill you.
Oh, that is stupid. That wasn't in the video that I watched.
He might have knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
I watched a YouTube video too, and there's a certain, and I copied what he did, and that's how I found 4 of the 5 pictures. And it was just out of, and then I kept getting sidetracked, and I kept getting attacked at different spots than he did, and I had to try to like reorient myself, and I finally grabbed one of the pictures out of order than what he did, and I just knew where one was because I tried so many times.
Now you can speed run it.
No, thank you. But it's ridiculously hard and stupid, and all they had to do to fix it, to balance it, was let you keep whatever pictures you took that you already grabbed. So therefore, it doesn't feel like you're like, you can feel like, okay, I'll explore this section now. If I die, oh, well, I already got 3. I just need 2 more. Like, I'll figure it out. But the fact that you have to keep grabbing the ones that you got and keep going through this is, and there's no defense method. There's no way to knock it off. If it catches you, you're dead instantly. And it's stupid. You can't avoid her. You can't dodge her. You can't get past Sakura Head. You just die. And it's ridiculous.
And this is why when people complain about why games are affected with the yellow paint syndrome, this is why you need something to catch your eye to. Like in Shattered Memories, it was like run towards the blue.
Yeah.
Or then you'd find waypoints like lights or televisions or something like that.
There was nothing. The only reason I knew what to do is because I picked, and there's only really one thing in this maze that stands out that you can use. There's a door that says, no exit or no escape or something like that. And that was a door that I ended up having to use as my point. Like, okay, I know where I am now. And there were times I was right next to that door, didn't even realize because I had to turn the wrong way. And you don't really, and you're being chased constantly, which I also hate, by the way, in video games.
And if it escalated to that better, I think it would be more palatable because it goes from like 0 to crazy and then that's the end. Like, there's a chase in the middle that I stumbled on a bit, but then I think there's spotlights or door lights or something that kind of got my focus about where to go.
Yes, in the other ones, they did, like, they'll have lights shining a certain direction. They'll do things that will get your attention to have you go that way, and they weren't that bad. because you also weren't collecting them. You were just trying to find the exit. So sooner or later, you're probably going to find it. But in this, where you're trying to collect five items and not die, the only good news is once you collect the fifth item, so I think she disappears. That's what the YouTube said. Except in mine, I grabbed that five photo. She was still there about to kill me. And then I ran for my life. Then she disappeared. So, yeah, I would have. If she would have killed me after I grabbed all five, I think the game would have been uninstalled right then and there. So, but she didn't. Thank God. I ran and I was able to. Then it starts to lock all the doors on you. Once you get out of the room that you were in, that you grab the photo, all the doors start closing. So it kind of like funnels you to where you need to go. But it was really shitty and it made me take a mostly enjoyable experience up until then and just it ruined it. And that's sad because had that not been in there, I would have enjoyed this experience without that one just ridiculous final, what's considered a final boss chase per IGN.
It's okay. I'm sure at some point, like, because I said this, I guess Sony has some kind of contract where they're releasing Silent Hill stuff first on the PlayStation. I'm waiting for this to be fully released, because y'all talking about this. I'm waiting for this to be fully released to where it's the main public, because some people still don't have a PS5. Obviously, you know, 4 out of 5 of us have one, but yeah. I'm waiting for this to be fully released to the public, and then someone going, oh yeah, we fixed that last chase scene, so it's a little bit easier.
Again, simple fix, that you keep the photos that you grabbed, and it would be fine. That's the only issue with it, is you, by taking that away from a person, you make them feel more like, because you could just like, okay, I gotta go and I'll get a photo, I keep the photo, like you'll figure it out eventually, even without a guide or without, you would just figure it would probably happen more naturally, that you would just learn to explore different, and you wouldn't be so upset because you would at least have always gotten progress, where it felt old school hard. Didn't feel like a game made
after 360. Or you can hide or something. Could you?
No, you can't hide. You can just, if you stop, okay. You just have to keep running for your life. I mean, you can kind of like kite her and run around circles and certain things and like lose her, but you get so confused to try to get back to where you even were sometime. And there are a couple rooms that are dead ends.
What threw me off, and I think it was just me being dumb, is I checked the controls because I did it the first because it mentioned something about the phone, about changing the apps or something, and I forgot how to do that. And then it said you can do a 180 in the chase sequences. And I thought when you did it, it just wasn't looking behind you. It actually did the Resident Evil 180, and that was your new fixed direction. So I was wondering why I was turned around, but then I would go back and get killed. And then, I mean, that was just me being dumb.
Yeah, no, I don't think there was one. I literally would just turn the camera. So
yeah,
it was just ridiculously hard. And it was just so stupid. I mean, I do like that you see the Silent Hill world start becoming in this building. And at one point, she finds out that Maya died 6 months ago and that she's been here for months.
Oh.
Like, she's trapped in the Silent Hill world in this place. And stuff like that was interesting. And watching the building as you're there, things keep changing. Because you go through a lot of the same places and the building changes. I thought that was cool. Like, what Ken said earlier, the atmosphere in this is great. Maybe not great with the word to use, but
it's pretty good. But the thing that really bugs me is that, like, okay, let's look at the Silent Hill games. Silent Hill 1 definitely happened, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Silent Hill 2 happened. Mm-hmm. 3 happened. 4 happened. This could be a dream, easily, because there is nothing that grounds it in the real world.
COVID.
That's true.
And that, I think, is what bugs me the most, is that it tries to say all these things, but it can't even commit to whether or not this is actually happening.
See, I had the Wikipedia entry up just trying to make some sense out of the story, and then it kind of linked to the GameSpot review, and I just found this line that says the game feels like a fire hose with two settings, platitudes and nonsense.
Yep.
And that's, I, bravo, writer.
This is Thoughts and Prayers, a video game.
Oh, that's a fucked up way to put it, but you're right, sir. That's
one way to put it. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Like, Anita is defined by her mental illness. That's it. Tell me one more thing about Anita. One.
Gay.
One.
Gay.
Okay, fine, two.
She has emo art.
Yeah, that is caused by her abuse.
Yeah.
Which has caused her mental illness. There is nothing that the game tells you. There infers some things, yes, but nothing the game tells you doesn't stem from Anita's child abuse and abuse in high school, bullying. Like, yeah. There is nothing about Anita we care about other than, oh, this is sad.
Yeah, they don't give you much for the character. I mean,
And like, it's only 2 hours. I get it.
Yeah.
But Maya, at least more fleshed out.
Maya is, and so is Amelie, the friend.
Yeah.
Amelie.
Amelie makes, you know, Amelie's more fleshed out, but Anita is just a vessel for mental health issues.
Maybe they do that on purpose so that we feel like we're Anita.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yes, and that's fair. I mean, games have done that before.
You get to the school and it kind of, you kind of have like, I guess, the bully ghosts. But did they ever really talk about specific instances of things being sent to her? Like, because most of the dialogue is just her saying, her friends being, hey, we should go to the mall to try on clothes. And then her response being like, everything looks bad on me or something like that. Because you go to the school and it's like all the people are there and they're talking to you. But it basically, it feels more like her lifeline is this one person and she only really has the one friend and they're ignoring them. So that kind of causes them to spiral.
That's why I brought up in the chat the borderline personality disorder. Because that's, you know, with that, you get really attached to your one person, right?
Oh, yep. You are right, Chelsea.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even think about that. Like, even when you said it, like, it didn't click in the chat. I was like, but now that you say it and now that I realize what it is and I'm thinking about situation I do know of in real life, like, okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll take that. That would also go along more with it. Why she's, you know, why she also does the things she does. She essentially, Maya, or this, whatever the hell this thing is blaming her for Maya's death. To her ahead.
See, I think that's literally just Pyramid Head, though. Sakura Head is just a manifestation, a physical manifestation of Anita's guilt.
Yeah.
And like, now she's being punished.
Yeah. So it's literally just Silent Hill 2. Again. It's one long nod to Silent Hill 2, but it doesn't do it well.
Yeah.
It's just a state of, like, how do you make a game like Silent Hill in today's day and age where games cost millions of dollars and they're made by hundreds of people. Like Silent Hill 2 was a million seller on the PlayStation 2. And that even then is surprising because it didn't review particularly well. Like I think there was a lot of sevens and eights, not like the tens that people are giving it now. And it doesn't feel particularly authored where it's like, okay, they have an idea that they want to expand upon. It's okay, we're just going to pull from our greatest hit. And that's what they always seem to be going back to. There's no one's like, we're going to move this forward in this way. And I know they had the recent gameplay trailer for Silent Hill 2, where, I mean, I don't know how the partnership is going between Konami and Bloober Team when they threw Konami under the bus and said it's their fault for why the trailer didn't look great. But the trailer just looks like it's trying to be Resident Evil 2 remake.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing that's overly unique or fresh about this anymore, which is why I don't think they should bother. Like, just keep the old ones exactly as they were, down to the voice acting and the style relevance, and just kind of let it go, unless you really want to, like, give a bunch of money for someone to go absolutely completely bonkers with a concept again.
God, wouldn't that be fun?
I have the quote for the episode. Are you ready, Mike?
Sure.
Comparing this to Silent Hill 2 is the equivalent of eating. Silent Hill 2 is a 3-course meal at a decent restaurant where, you know, you get enough and every little thing surprises you when it comes out. And instead, Short Message is basically a decent McDonald's meal. Well, yeah, it's pretty good, but it's missing a lot. And I miss that Silent Hill 2 course.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of Silent Hill 2 last time I played it, so don't listen to that episode.
If you want my reasoning why as well, it's also specifically, I know they try to fucking ride the high of Silent Hill 2 because out of all the letters you find in this game, only one's read out loud. Does anyone remember which one it was?
No.
Yeah, the one, wasn't it like in the locker?
Yes, the one in the locker written by Amelie, that's quoted at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Or Maya, whoever wrote it.
Oh, and also the way this game does chapters is every, like, the chapter ends, you run, you do whatever, you get to the roof, she jumps off, she wakes up again in the same room, and then things are getting a little bit more Silent Hill-y, and it's after the third time that you do it, or the second time that you do it, when everything starts really becoming Silent Hill-y. And what we haven't talked about yet also is the whole, like, you find out that she was abused as a child, and that her brother was killed, and that was for the main character, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, but they all have issues. What is it? I think even like the creepier one is, I think in the first chapter, you find out her friend doesn't like to, Amelie doesn't want to be home and wants to go to college because I think she has like a stepbrother who may or may.
They never say stepbrother, just say brother that keeps looking at her weird. So
no, it's stepbrother because there's another letter that says that her dad remarried a different woman. Okay. And I think she says it's her, my dad, her stepmom, and her son is, I think, the way it's phrased. So that's why I assume it's.
Okay, then that makes sense. Okay, I mean, that's, yeah, all right. Yeah, the stepbrother keeps looking at her. I was going to say, I mean, hell, some people are weird too. So like, but okay, stepbrother makes more sense. Yeah, they all give them like something like she's trying to get off to college and her family can't afford it or something. There's notes that you see throughout the game about that, and that she just wants to get away from her brother because he's her stepbrother because he's a creep.
Yeah, the stuff with and see that you're right, that their names are way too similar. Amelie. What is it? Anita?
Oh,
yeah, Anita.
They are way too familiar.
Yeah, Anita's whole story. Did y'all notice the perspective change too whenever you walk in the house?
That
you
you
get immediately shorter.
Yep.
Yeah, that was cool.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't catch that it till the end. Video. That's really cool. See, that's one of the things where, like, I feel like if I was playing it, I would have, like, picked up on that, and I would have really enjoyed that.
Because you're becoming a child, essentially. And I do like how there's one note you read. It was like, the guy was upset because he couldn't relax because of all the noise in the closet, because they locked the kid in the closet.
Yeah.
It's like, come on now. Like, this is, I mean, people do shit like this. Like, this is believable. There are people out there. I mean, I was watching a documentary about Jared Fogle, the subway guy, and
Lord.
I'm not going to go too far into this, but about him. But there was a mother, one of the people that they interviewed, some kids that were affected. The mother of these kids, they were like 13 to 16 or so, and like she was involved in things. She got arrested and got like 30 years. I'll just leave it at that. But like they make comments like, your mother's supposed to be there to protect you. She was a monster. And like she didn't do anything really to them in the documentary or anything happened, but things were leading up to what was like she had a lot of issues.
She let it happen, basically.
Yeah, she would. Yeah, because her boyfriend, her eventual husband, that's what he wanted because he was working for Jared Fogle. So it's on Max. It's a good documentary. Just be warned. It's dark as hell because Jared Fogle turned out to be a monster. So who would have guessed? That's why you don't ever see him on Subway commercials anymore, because he was a monster. So
yeah, he should be in the next Silent Hill.
I don't want to play that game.
I'm just thinking of the South Park bit in my head. I'm not even going to say any of it out loud.
That's fair.
That bit's so great.
But I don't know. Like, there are ways to approach the stuff that this game does. And I really don't think this is it. I feel like by the time you get to even this short experience, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't give a shit by the time I got to the end. I there's no chance to really connect with any of the characters. Like, you know more than you do about others, but I don't know, none of them connected with me at all.
I was on board until the final chase. I was completely into the game. I liked what little stuff it was giving me. When you find out that she was abused as a child and then taken away, like, I thought that added to partly to why she's dealing with some of the stuff that she's dealing with because of her childhood. Like, I liked all that. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. It really wasn't until it just gets really, it's just that chase really, really broke me, by the way, like that.
I kind of liked it. Mainly because I have all the stuff, even though, like, with the goofy phone stuff. And funny enough, they are using Twitter. Like, no one else is going to convince me otherwise. That is not Twitter that they've been posting stuff on. But
to be fair, Twitter was at the time, and probably still is, like one of the most used social media platforms, unfortunately.
And that's what's bonkers about how fast things move now. When I watch movies from even a couple of years ago, and people are talking about maximizing Twitter, and it already feels dated. Like, it feels like it's someone talking about like a VHS tape.
Well, that's also because Elon Musk is a weirdo. If he hadn't taken over Twitter, if he never made that dumb comment to buy it, I think Twitter would have been fine.
I mean, it's always awful. It was just awful-er now.
Yes. Well, it's just also, this is not a good platform in general. Like, it used to work better. And then he just fucked it up because he lost all this money because he's an idiot.
But I also get the whole thing about like being, because as much as suicide is a touchy subject, I also get the whole thing of like being like, oh, like one small thing can set you off. mainly because I also had a really bad childhood. I didn't have parents growing up. And, you know, you try to pretend everything's okay, but then I had a situation where I told my grandma this a while back where it was like, oh, yeah, I remember being in elementary school and saying something stupid. And a teacher was like, oh, kids, don't pay attention to him. He doesn't have parents. That's why he acts out. And like and everyone laughed at me and I went, oh, and I'm like, oh, that's why I had a fucked up childhood.
What the fuck?
So I completely get the whole thing because I do think that there's something else where I think Anita, there's a note where Anita says something about like making a good impression on her new parents or something like that.
Okay. I mean, it's got to be hard. Like, I was fortunate enough that things worked out for my childhood, but like, I think about a lot with like my son had to go through and everything. And like, it's hard. Like, you know, it's got to be a brutal thing for a person. And like with the suicide stuff, I mean, I could relate to it because I was down. I mean, I had my moments in my life where I was very, very down and thought about it. But I also hate heights, mm-hmm. so that helps. The only way I was ever going to go was going to be a bullet, and I never will buy a gun. So therefore, it helped. It was like, but I had my moments where I'm like, I'm very happy I don't own a gun ever because I might have left. But I don't like the idea of pain, so I can't go any other way than it has to be instant. So
same, I feel that.
I won't buy a gun, so that helps because I don't like guns and I don't want to ever have the opportunity to do that symbol. But I mean, my life was dark at one time. My life is not dark at all anymore. But you know, like, so I completely get it. Like, you know, I can get that. And the idea of jumping to your death is a simple way. I mean,
like halfway down.
If you do it too late.
I've heard people that have survived falling saying that they changed their mind halfway down.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people do. A personal, well, not exactly my story, but when I worked at the Mall America, a guy I worked with told one of the guys that I worked with had been there. He had told me that one time he remembered there was a van just parked on the fourth floor and he went by it. He was doing his job cleaning and it was late at night. And after he drove off, the woman jumped off the parking structure and died. And I remember it ate at him. He's like, I should have done something. You know, maybe I could have said something. Maybe I could have knocked the window and said, hey, you know, come on, you got to go, like something, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, there was no reason. That wasn't what our job was to do. Like, if you had sex in your car, we would drive around you and bug you. So you leave. But that was about it. Like, we didn't, you know, it wasn't our job. Like, our job was to clean.
You guys want a fucked up, like, callback to a previous podcast episode?
Sure.
Also a fucked up way to go, the opening of Midsommar.
Yep.
Yep. Ooh, that one
hurt. The gas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Starting your car, and like, I think it's like attached to her face, isn't it?
Yep, it's bad, yeah.
Yeah, it's, woof.
I mean, I kind of feel like if you start in the garage, eventually it wouldn't be as noticeable, but to your face, that just sounds like, yeah, no.
Yeah, like you're choking like the whole time, for what I'm assuming.
I mean, it's probably going to go quick. At least in your car, it's more, if you're in your car and you run in the garage, you'll probably just pass out after a while.
I think you pass out.
I always think about that every time I start my car. I always make sure my garage door is open. So I'm like, yeah, I don't want to find this out.
Oh.
Well, I used to never be able to park in a garage because my garage was full of shit. Still is. But I moved it finally so I can put my car in. Every time I get in my car in the morning, I think about that. Like, yeah, better make sure the garage door is open. Okay, now we'll start the car. Because I don't, yeah, little thing. I also watch Medium, the show, really good show. And there is a death in there that someone killed themselves that way with in the car. Watch that show, by the way. It's really, really good show. And it's on Paramount.
Yeah, go.
Time in this recording.
Also, go watch that show about those kids that have diseases on Netflix. I can't think of what it's called. Ken, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
There's a show on Netflix. It's called it's made by the guy that made The Midnight Gospel.
Oh, I know what guy you're talking about, but
yeah, he made Midnight Gospel. He makes a bunch of show on Netflix. It's like called like the Night Society or something. It's a bunch of kids that live in a halfway house. They all have terminal cancer and they all share stories. And one of them, I won't spoil what it is. At least go watch that singularly. And there's one about suicide and it actually like really, really like, me and my partner had to like pause it at the end because we all got like, we got really emotional at it. It was really good.
Hey, how about Gotham Knights? That's a show about kids. What that show?
Talk about that.
I forgot that show existed until just now. I was like, oh yeah, there's a show.
I'm just glad you brought up Netflix because I remembered I have to cancel Netflix.
Ken Blair, when are we going to do the Gotham Knights show for my.
Never.
Ever.
No.
My time is too valuable to
watch it.
But I also get Castiel Two-Face, so I'm of two minds. It's difficult. You get Castiel
Two-Face. If it makes you feel better, it looks bad.
It does look bad. I've seen pictures. You sent me a picture. You bet. But, yeah.
Funny.
No.
Yeah, I have no interest either. So
I also have one very important question as well. It's for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Chelsea, is it isn't it like super annoying to have bangs behind your glasses? Because every time I had a cutscene in this where it showed the main character, her hair is behind her glasses, and I'm like, man, that must be super annoying. I don't have long hair.
That bugged me. That really bugged me. I'm like, because people don't, if you wear glasses and you have long hair, you don't wear your hair in front of your glasses. Like,
no, you don't.
I don't know what they were doing with that.
I mean, I have long hair and I just, it's not inside my, you know, it's, I'll push off to the side. Not that long of hair, but long enough to push off sides sometimes.
Yeah.
I did not, that bothered me. At least it didn't cut through their face. Like, I hate in anime sometimes when the hair cuts through their, like, it cuts through things. That bothers me a lot. So besides stuff that bothers us, are there any last things that we want to mention about this game that we haven't? We should talk about, like, I do like the way Sakura looks, Sakura Head looks. I don't like that name, but I am really hoping F is a good game when that does come out.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Sakura Head shows up in F, but at the same time, I kind of hope it doesn't.
Fair.
Because the last thing I need is another monster for the internet to sexualize.
Well, I mean, Sakura Head will be easy for the internet to sexualize, by the way. The internet, we sexualize all sorts of things for some reason.
Don't you say we shit.
The internet is a...
Don't lump me in with you.
I don't do it, but it just feels like it's an internet thing. And we are part of the internet. All right, any last things you guys want to say? Oh, I got a personal story that made me think that concludes with suicide. It doesn't conclude with suicide, but involves suicide. So I want to bring it up. When I was a kid in elementary school, I was bullied a lot. No, and I remember I was talking to some girl that this must have been second or maybe third or fourth grade. And she asked me, like, how do you deal with getting bullied all the time? I said, well, I play video games. And I was talking about Chrono Trigger and something. I just know it was Chrono Trigger at the time. And whatever I said, she ended up telling the school, and they had me talk to a psychiatrist. I always remember that. I wasn't suicidal or anything. I just thought it was, I was just, but yeah, I was bullied a lot. So I get that. The bad thoughts came later when my life was really bad at one time. Yeah, I just wanted to add that since I had the opportunity.
Thanks,
all right. Yep. Anything? I think we should go to Shelf Decker Box. I think we exhausted this game.
Yep. And it's exhausted me as well.
So I'm going to go first. I'm going to put this in the box. Now, had it not been for that final scene, I would have probably been okay with it. It was just that final scene really broke me, and not really badly. I was so upset with it. That final chase maze was so fucking annoying. Oh, yeah, so it's going to go in the box. But we should say the ending of this is she gets on the roof and she finally comes to peace with what happened and calls her friend up and doesn't commit suicide. That's the ending of this game.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can now.
Oh, cool, my power flickered.
Oh,
did you? I blame Ken because he mentioned Sakura Head and then it just fucking went out.
So, yeah, that's my piece for it. Okay, Blair, what about you?
Yeah, this is a box. I don't think I boxed anything in a while. I mean, it's free, so it's hard to get upset about it because it didn't cost any money. The only thing it's taking up is hard drive space, but it's just in my life, I'm not a parent. I don't have kids, and I'm going to be 40 in like 2 months. So I understand the story, and I definitely feel it's important. It's just not something that I really click with in this because it's like the thing is it's either too ham-fisted or too pretentious, and I don't know. I just don't trust a lot of game makers nowadays because of all the stuff that's going on, and I mean, I think the Silent Hill, just bring back the old ones, we'll be happy.
Yeah. Ken?
You know, I'm going to put it in the box. I mean, chances are I'm never going to play this again. I played through it twice, and...
Oh!
Yeah. Well, like, it took, like, 2 hours.
Yeah, it don't take long, but I'm just still surprised you played through it twice.
Yeah, well, like, I played it when it first came out. Like, the day it came out, I was there. And then I played it again as we got closer to the show.
Makes sense. All
right. So, like, it's not horrible, and it doesn't succeed where it wants to succeed. And all of those things, I don't know, kind of just, it exists. I'm good. Box, thank you. That's it.
All right. Chelsea.
I'm going to be the odd man out. I'm going to put this in the stack just because I'd want to actually play it before I put it in the box.
Well, that makes sense.
I like what Joe said about comparing it to Silent Hill, comparing a 5-course meal to McDonald's. Like, they're both good, but one is very much better. It's just, for me, it was shattered memories, but lackluster. And I love you. You either love or hate shattered memories. I love shattered memories, but it's this just the ending. I was expecting like the big M. Night Shyamalan twist ending, and there really wasn't one. So, but I would actually like to enjoy play it and then make a better judgment.
It is enjoyable, except for one scene. It is enjoyable. All right. And Joe.
I also agree with Chelsea. I'm going to put this on the stack as well. It does a lot of things good and a lot of things bad, but I still think the story is good enough. I don't think it needs that twist. I'm kind of fine with it being with a whole like, oh, don't, you know, you're forcing yourself into this situation kind of thing. And it's kind of doing it to yourself, which is kind of what I guess suicide is you're just kind of being a Debbie Downer on yourself a lot. So it's better than having the big twist being that Maya's been dead the whole time. I'm glad they kind of addressed that in the beginning. But I also feel like this has old man like thoughts all over it too, with Konami and it being like, well, what if we make it about cyberbullying and you put up a bunch of sticky notes that say you're mean and you're dumb and, you know, with all this other stuff. But like a lot of the other story beats, like being uncomfortable with your dad's marriage and then having parental issues. And I think Maya had an issue, but I don't remember what it is, honestly. But I liked enough of it to where I could say that this it's pretty decent. And it being 2 hours doesn't help it. And I honestly feel like they should put more into it. But now us talking about it, I didn't put two and two together. I am kind of low key worried that this is supposed to be a prequel, like, or like this is like a prequel sequel to Silent Hill F.
I think it has to be. Like, why else would you put money in to make this if and not charge anything? You have to have a reason why you did it.
No. This is just a playable commercial for the future of the series, because we still have Silent Hill Townfall. I think that's what it's called, right? Townfall? Yes,
Townfall.
Yeah.
And the guy who wrote F isn't involved in this whatsoever. So the only thing I could think of that they would have this is because they're going to use Sakura Head in it. And I cut out earlier, which sucks because I wanted to make a comment on it too. But the other weird issue that I had with this is I know it's in first person. I don't really understand what Sakura Head's doing to you when she kills you. It's kind of goofy looking, and they should have like really figured out a good way to show you being killed in first person, and they totally fucked that up too.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think about it being a playable commercial, but that's probably the most accurate way to put this.
I'd be okay if Silent Hill F was a prequel and it just focused on like that witch lore.
It probably will.
Yeah,
I'd be okay with that.
Same. Supposedly the building was cursed by a Japanese witch before she died.
Yes.
Like that's in the lore in the game. And I don't think it really explains anything. I think it's just a story that people tell, but it would be interesting if that's the route that they wanted to take. Like, I don't know, man. Like I'm going to play F. I'm going to give Townfall a shot, whatever. I tried to deal with Silent Hill Ascension before it got like super dumb after the first couple episodes.
It's super dumb.
Oh, it's super dumb. But, like, Silent Hill going from a location to a vibe is seemingly where the series is going moving forward. And I'm still going to tell on that one, whether or not it works. But I'm trying to be positive. You know, if I can give the new Crow movie a chance, I can give any Silent Hill movie a chance. Oh, yeah, don't forget. Silent Hill movies supposedly this year, too.
Ah, hell.
Okay. Return to Silent Hill is supposedly still coming out in March. I doubt it.
I haven't even seen a trailer for it. We're in March.
And yes, we are in March.
Oh, it's not coming.
It probably got pushed back because of the whole Hollywood protesting.
Well.
Yeah, probably right.
Yeah, but I think it wouldn't have, because isn't it made by a French guy where they don't do that?
Maybe.
Like, so principal photography on that one took place from April to July of 2023. I don't exactly remember when the strikes happened, but I do know that this was entirely shot in Germany, which is really weird considering where this game takes place.
That is weird.
So
That actually has me concerned. There's actors that are out for it, and you guys will never guess what. The main characters are James. The main character is James. So
yeah, it's just Silent Hill 2. That's something they announced on the reveal, I believe.
Yep, it was. This is the story, the film story of Silent Hill 2. I am sure that it will be handled, since it is the same guy who did the original Silent Hill movie. It'll be a mixed bag, original Silent Hill movie.
At least it's not same person that did Revelations.
At least Revelations had Deborah Kerr Unger in it. This does not. And I'm sorry, but if I can't have my Dahlia, nah. And I, dude, no interest.
We both know that you're going to see that movie, and we're going to talk about it.
Honestly, I was talking about it, like, just coming up there and watching it.
Okay.
Like, driving to Minnesota to watch that movie.
And that'd be fun. We'd go, the three of us, then we could review it. Then we could podcast about it, all five of us.
Let's go.
Go.
That would be a first that I saw a movie in theaters and then for podcast about it after it came out, right after. So
we got to figure out how to get Joe and Blair to Minnesota.
Blair would need a passport.
Blair don't F with movie theaters anymore. I had a bad experience.
I can take a train. What? That was a bad experience.
Just like every movie I go to now, it's just a nightmare of annoying people. And I mean, we only have one multiplex in our entire city. We might have two in our entire province. And my 4K TV has better picture output than our cinemas. So it's better to like not go to the movies and deal with like teenage girls like on their phones or singing or stamping their feet or other people just on their phones and being obnoxious
I don't have any of those problems when I go to the theater.
You know what movie you can go see, Blair, that probably has zero people in it?
Return to Silent Hill.
Yeah.
No. I was going to say, you can go see Madam Web. I had a good time seeing Madam Web, but to be fair, I was high the whole time, so that probably had something to do with it.
See, I've already seen The Beekeeper this year, and that's probably the best movie I'll see in theaters all year.
Hey, Dune Part 2 is in theaters. I have no interest in seeing that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'm going to go see Dune 2. I really wanted to see The Beekeeper. I'm still one of those people
It is so, like, it is trash, but excellent trash.
Well, that's what Jason Statham does. He does excellent trash.
But it's like Transporter One era, like that type of schlock. It is great.
Awesome.
I have something to tell Blair. I don't want to spoil on the podcast. So if you know what the ending to Beekeeper is, be prepared for what I'm going to tell these fine people at the closing of this podcast about what the twist to Beekeeper is.
Well, I'm not listening to that then, because I still want to see it.
Okay.
He's not actually a beekeeper. I have no idea. I haven't seen
that. No, actually, he is.
No, it's...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways.
All right. And Chelsea, where can people find you at?
You can find me on the god-awful Twitter, at Tyrant Cheeks. And you can find me on Twitch, where I stream Metal Gear Solid, Silent Hill, and Resident Evil, primarily.
All right. A sprinkle of Max Payne here and there.
That's true.
And Blair.
You can find me on various social media platforms, Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram. It's either my name or Blarcade. You can read my work at comicbookvideogames.com. I don't know what exactly is on the docket for the next little while. My review of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League is probably the most recent thing until the new Ninja Turtles game comes out in April. But other than that, and go visit the Comic Book Video Games Facebook page. I'll post stuff every now here there every now and then as well.
All right. And if you enjoyed this episode, there's over 600 other episodes of you go listen to of this podcast. You can find everything we do on Podbean. Also, if you want to listen to more Silent Hill, to make it nice and easy for you, in the show notes will be all our Silent Hill episodes that we have done. So definitely go check that out. If you need more Silent Hill fix, you will get that there. Mostly it's a lot of episodes with the same team for everything I've redone. So definitely go check that out. If you want to support the show, we do a Patreon. If you're a little dollar, you can vote in a Patreon poll. We have 1 to 2 every month lately. So definitely go do that. You get to affect the show. So, and also if you want to chat with us, there's a Discord. Please join our Discord. We need more people in Discord. And want to give a shout out to my awesome intro and outro courtesy of Helena. at Hell Hashfear. You can follow her on Twitch, Instagram, TikTok. You'll see a link in the show notes to her link tree. So definitely go check her out. And please follow Nomad's Fantasy and Nintendo Main Podcast, two other great shows. And check out A Gamer Looks at 40 with Bill Tucker. He's back at the time you're hearing this. So definitely go keep listening to him. And if you want, and I think that's, oh yeah, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, TikTok, YouTube, audio only. But you can find us in all those different places. And please review us on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. I think that's everything I need to say. So we will see you guys all next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
So long.